Hare Krishna.
So a little housekeeping first. If you have a cell phone, hey, if you guys could pretend like you're an Indian bus, you could move up just a little bit closer because there's people in back, and that way they'll be able to. If you just move, I don't bite, I'm vegetarian. Krishna Prashad only. If you have a cell phone, amazingly to note, there is an off button on it. And you can just shut it off. When you turn it back on, bad news will still be there. You haven't missed a thing. Don't worry. And in our temple in London, if your cell phone goes off during the presentation, you have to donate £10 to the deities. So you can do the... Now I've got your attention. You can do the hundi, the donation box for the deities is right there. And you can do the calculation, how many dollars to the pound. So if it goes off, you just drop something right in the hundi there, okay? So the Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesha Sunyavari Paskachada Satarani. I'm thinking of the time factor. The Prabhupada was in London one time. And they asked him so many questions. That's where they asked him, you know, why do you shave your head? Prabhupada asked the lady, why do you shave your legs? They said, why is the death rate so high in India? Prabhupada said, death rate's the same everywhere, 100%. So it was blissful. But then after so many questions, Prabhupada asked the reporter, it was in London, BBC. He said, you're asking so many questions. Can I ask you a question? So they said, okay. Prabhupada said, they say that the sun never sets on the British Empire. Then Prabhupada said, then why does it never shine in London? But Prabhupada went on to say, actually the sun never sets on ISKCON. And the reason I'm showing this is to give you a flavor that all over the world, there are wonderful devotees doing innovative, enlivening, compassionate, adventuresome service for Krishna. This is a worldwide movement. And this is just the problem with this show, this presentation, is that not to find enough stuff, but all the things that I don't have time to show. So this is just to give you a flavor of, I like this picture. This is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Of course, Krishna and Balaram come again 500 years ago. And behind them, maybe you can't see, but there's waves and waves of devotees. So it was predicted, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago, that the chanting of the holy name of the Hare Krishna... Nah, that's not going to happen. Hare Krishna. Thank you. That the chanting of the holy name will be known in every town and village. And it's actually happening. So here we go. Now the thing is, this is, I think it's from Thoreau, that most people lead lives of quiet desperation. And if you look at here, our friend right here, he is not a happy camper. But what is the goal of life? There's different ways of measuring success. I saw a bumper sticker. It said, the one who dies with the most toys wins. And I thought, well, hang on a minute. The guy with the most toys still dies. Where do the toys go? The dimwit relatives. They inherit it. What happens? You know. So what really is success in this world? Is it just to... And we're not belittling family life at all. I'm not saying, but just to get a house, to raise two kids, to make it to Walmart back and forth with the GPS and Jai. Is that the goal of life? So, I'll give you another example. If you have a bucket of water, what happens if you put, there's a water line, you know, with a bucket of water, put your hand in the bucket of water, what happens to the water line? It goes up. What happens when you take your hand out? It goes right back to the exact same place. So are we just supposed to take up space on the planet Earth, breathe some oxygen, take up some space, and then when we're dead and gone, maybe 10, 20 people cry for us for a few hours, maybe a few months, and then after 10 years they can't even remember what we look like without looking at a photograph. Is that all that there is? That's the only impact our life is meant to have? So this... Can we lift this up just a little bit higher? Because I want you to see the text. Can we? Is it possible just a little bit higher? Maybe just slip something under, a couple inches. Okay, good. Now, I mean, we're not supposed to be attracted to these things, but she's quite beautiful. I mean, we have to admit, what happened? I mean, I wouldn't want to meet her in a dark alley. But it's the only thing that's happened is the time factor. And everything that we're chasing after, the so-called beautiful, valuable things, they go through stages that Vedas describe: birth, growth, maturation, culmination, decline, dissolution, or death. Every form, everything in this world is going through that cycle, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. So what are we chasing after? Oop, went the wrong way. This is Yadavar's father, by the way. Here he is at 40. Here he is him at 70. Same man, but the influence of time. Time and tide wait for no one. This is one of my favorites. You see, this says, learn to fly here. Oh, something went wrong. You know, there's... So we're getting all kinds of advice. Do this, go here, buy this. We are, the average American under hypnosis can remember over 357 commercial jingles. They said that someone challenged, many years ago, they challenged Prabhupada. They said, this chanting is brainwashing. Prabhupada said, if the brain is dirty, shouldn't you wash it? So we're full of all kinds of goals, values, aspirations. Coke is the real thing. It's not the real thing. It's fizzy sugar water that rots your teeth. You know, what is it, Nike, just do it? Wait a minute. Shouldn't you think before you do it? You don't just, animals just do it. Human beings are meant to think before they do it. So all these things are in our brain, and it creates our picture of the world. So we're full of bad advice. And where is it leading? What is the goal of the whole thing? One man was talking to Prabhupada. He kept saying, progress, we're making progress. Prabhupada said, your progress is like the moth into the flames. We're moving, but in what direction? Are we just becoming cogs in the wheels, consumer units? Is that what life's all about? Okay. We have a choice in this life. What to do? That's the most valuable thing we have. What are we going to do with our life? Are we going to spend it pandering after sense gratification? For titillating our senses with the latest new and improved, whatever it is? Or are we actually going to have character and value and do something good in the world? So Krishna says here, I love this picture. You see, here's Krishna, he's strong Arjuna. What is the last verse? One of the last verses in the Gita. Wherever there's Krishna, wherever there's Arjuna, victory, morality, opulence, and extraordinary strength. This is what human life is meant to be: brave, confident, value added. So if we follow Krishna, we become like Arjuna. So Krishna says, I'm adventure. So this is, instead of just living a quiet life of desperation, if we can become engaged in the mission of delivering Krishna's message, it is the greatest adventure. So this is just a sample. This is, you could, like a Disneyland ride, you're on a ride for about 45 minutes. What is that adventure? And how our lives can become valuable. So we're going to start off in India. We're going to go around the world. This is the temple of Vedic Planetarium. This was the desire of the previous acharyas, the great saints. They're prescient. It's called Trilochan. They can see past, present, and future. So many great saints and sages have predicted that in the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a beautiful temple would come up. And that temple would, just like the moon rises and controls the tides, that temple would flood the entire world with Divya Gyan, or transcendental knowledge. So this is the plan. It's a beautiful picture. Don't worry, there's something to it. But just to explain, this is the main temple dome. Tomorrow morning I'm going to show, it's about a half hour. What time is class in the morning? If any of you are free tomorrow morning, I have a fantastic DVD that describes all about this temple. But just briefly, this is a planetarium. It'll explain the entire universe according to the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. This is a this is an IMAX theater. This is the Research Institute. Greatest scholars in our ISKCON movement, our Bhaktivedanta Institute, double PhDs, so many things, explaining Vedic principles. So that this will be a research institute, IMAX theater, and on this side is the temple for Lord Nrisingadev. Prabhupada said he's a little fiery, he needs his own temple. And this will have beautiful Radha Madhava, it'll have I could say so many things. But this temple looks beautiful, it's actually happening. This was taken about 3 months ago. It's actually the top of the dome has started to come up, and they finished these chhatris over this. This building is coming up. Here's a view from the top of the building. This is Mother Ganga, for those of you who know Mayapur. Here's Prabhupada's Samadhi to give you an idea of the scope of the thing. The temple room can hold 10,000 devotees for kirtan. And the interior acoustics are designed by Bose. You know the Bose? Bose is actually Bengali. And they've donated their service to do all the acoustics, so we have first-class acoustics. This is another temple we've opened in Pune. Pune is, in Maharashtra, isn't it? Beautiful picture, nice temple, South Indian temple for Balaji. This is a restaurant, guest house, classes, seminars, retreats. Is it just a pretty picture? Nope. Here's the temple. It opened in January of this year. The president of India came for... they're putting the kalash on top of the shikhar, the temple spire. This is the president of India came for the opening of the temple. He was only supposed to come for about half an hour. He stayed for 2.5 hours. He was having so much fun. At one point, you know, he came and, you know, 24 cars all showed up. I'm just thinking of time, but it is kind of blissful. Before, they had to seal it. They searched the whole temple because of bomb threats, just like our president, you know, so many things. So they sealed off the temple for 2 days beforehand, and they had the top Indian army security guarding the thing. So the devotees, they were giving them prasadam, and they were hearing the kirtan. After 2 days, the head of the presidential guard can't come and chastise the temple president. He said, "You've got to start feeding my men. They're all becoming too lax. They were taking prasadam. They were putting down their guns. They were going to take darshan of the deities." He said, "No, like, stop feeding them." But anyway, at one point, the president of India just shut off his phone. He was having so much fun. This is the guest house, classrooms, administration building. It's beautiful. Now it's all beautifully landscaped. This is just as it was opening. They have four of these buildings. They have four of these apartment buildings. They're at the four sides of the temple. They're completely the temple compound on each of the four sides, and they're full of devotees. Four of these buildings, apartment buildings, full of devotees. Here's the deity's beautiful Radha Pradhan Chandra. So now we've moved to Mumbai. This is a school. Prabhupada said that if we can turn some educated people, well-to-do, influential people, if we can turn them to Krishna consciousness, that'll affect the culture. It's like a domino effect. Whatever a great man does, other people follow. People read People magazine. I mean, they're following these fools and rascals. So people follow leaders. It's human instinct. Prabhupada said we should build a beautiful school, attract some of the rich men's sons in India, and train them to be devotees. This has actually happened. This school is absolutely first class. It's better than U.S. standard. 900 students, 70 teachers. Here they are in the morning assembly. What are they doing? They're looking at beautiful Lord Jagannath. They have a Ratha Yatra that goes all through the neighborhood. It's all done by the kids. All the prasadam is from our Govinda's restaurant. Jayapataka Maharaj joked that we should bring, and he was actually serious, but he was making the point that we should bring all of our schools throughout ISKCON to this standard. He said, because after all, we may be coming back, we'll all be born in devotee families and have to go to Gurukula. We better shape it up, you know? So this is actually happening. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but here's they have chemistry lab, auditorium, video conferencing. They've got those computer screen blackboards that, you know, you can write on your desk and it all comes up on the board. Every desk is computer connected. It's unbelievable. It's got a rooftop sports area. It's got a gym. Now, this is something else. We'll move around the world, but this is also, you may know this, you may not, but ISKCON has the largest vegetarian free meal program in the world. We have 8 of these centers. They're soon ramping up to I think it's going to be 14 by the end of this year. These are all, you look at the logo, it says here, this is all the ISKCON logo. This is at one of the, they distributed hot meals to kids in schools. They distribute over 1 million meals a day. In one day, 6 days a week. It's all government funding, because it's a long story, but the government helps fund it. We have people who donate. It's all for free. This is our Delhi. They have 27 centers in Delhi. 5 or 6 big temples. Maybe you've seen the big temple in Delhi. Then they have small, you know, beautiful houses. They've got preaching centers by all the universities. 27 centers in Delhi. Now we've moved to Chennai. Chennai is Madras, South India. This is, it's called Golden Beach. It's one of the most beautiful. It's right on the, the Indian Ocean. It's beautiful. It's where all the, it's vacation place. And right in the middle of it, 10 years ago, when it was nothing, someone donated land. The devotees thought, what do we need this land out in the middle of nowhere? Now it's in the most prestigious part of Madras. Krishna has his own way of doing things. So here's the temple. They expected only in India. They prepared for 10,000 guests for the opening of the temple. 25,000 showed up. And this is designed by Banu Maharaj. Here's the front of the temple. Full prasadam for everyone. But it's also a model of the universe. It's unbelievable. This temple, when you go to it, it's all designed. It has all the different coverings of the universe. It's a museum in and of itself. Here's the deities, beautiful Radha Krishna. That's their names. So now, Srila Prabhupada's birth, you know, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, Srila Prabhupada, he was born in Calcutta. And for so many years, 40 years, we've been trying to get Prabhupada's birthplace. Just like they have the birthplace of Jesus, they have the birthplace of Buddha, George Washington, so many. We have finally managed, after 40 years, to purchase the birth site of Srila Prabhupada. This is the jackfruit tree that Prabhupada was born under. Now, it has all kinds of tenant, you know, it's been all built up. We purchased the whole land. Gradually, we're moving all the tenants. We'll make this into a retreat center, seminar, yoga retreat. So it's all being developed like that. Now, this is it's called the ISKCON Leaders Seminar. This was in 2014. We just did another one. Yeah, it just ended. This is the best and brightest. Of course, every devotee is a luminary. But our temple presidents, project managers, they all gather together in Mayapur. And the idea was to exchange best ideas, best practices, innovative thinking. So this is a picture of the devotees there. There's about 400 devotees. The free flash drives are passed out to everyone. If you ask me later on or check with your temple president, we can give you all the different presentations that were there. They're all on actually by the end of this month, they'll all be online. You can check them out. And I'm going to give you a sample of a few things. Well, what happened? Well, maybe that comes up later. I'll show you later. Okay. Now we're going to go to South America. This is the Atlantic Ocean right here. This is the Amazon forest. And this is a devotee chanting his morning Gayatri. They've built a beautiful retreat. This is the guest house and this is the restaurant. Just to give you an idea of the overlay. It's packed by people who are taking yoga retreats. Mantra meditation. They rise 4 o'clock in the morning. They go to Mangalarti. They chant japa. They hear the Srimad Bhagavatam class. And people are paying to come. They also get Ayurvedic medicine. They do some yoga asanas. It's all Krishna prasadam. They've designed the place as a retreat center, and it's packed. And people are paying to come and learn Krishna consciousness. They're even getting tour groups from Spain, from all over the world. This is in Recife, one of the larger cities in Brazil. This is, you may know, this well-fed Brahmin. This is Dinabandhu Prabhu. And this park here, this is the city center, and it's called Prabhupada Square. And they have a nice plaque that describes all about Srila Prabhupada, how he brought Krishna consciousness to the West. So there it is. This is a temple in Lima. It looks like one of those Bengali Gaudiya Math temples. This was entirely built by the devotees. This is their Sunday feast. And the ceiling is painted all like the cover of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto of the Bhagavatam, who describes all the universe. You have people who come, it's like reverse obeisances. They're lying on their back, looking, checking out the ceiling, you know. Now, right in the middle of town in Peru, we have Beverly Hills, they have this area called Miraflores. They have a first-class Govinda's restaurant right in the middle. And up above it, this is where they have Bhagavad Gita classes 3 days a week, seminars, yoga retreats, mantra meditation, right in the center of town. And this is going, they have things like this all over South America. This is just a sample. This is the Mexican Rath Yatra. It goes right through Chapultepec Park, just like Central Park in New York is the joy and pride of the city. This Chapultepec Park is actually, it was built originally by the Aztecs. It's a beautiful park. And if you notice, just like we do here, they actually got the idea from the L.A. Rath Yatra. You notice how the top is canopied, it collapses down? That's so it can go under the phone wires. In Washington, D.C., we also have, in the 4th of July parade, we also have our Rath Yatra carts. In the viewing stand, sometimes the president is there, the vice president is always there, joint chiefs of staff, so many senators, so many congressmen, they're all there in the viewing stand watching the 4th of July parade go by. When the Rath Yatra cart goes by, there's phone wires, which they can't see. So the canopy comes down, they go under the phone wires, and the canopy comes back up. All the, you know, the joint chiefs of staff, the vice president, they all thought that the Rath Yatra was like tipping their hat or nodding them in recognition. So they all saluted back. So with the real Lord Jagannath, the real commander-in-chief, they're all saluting Lord Jagannath. So Lord Jagannath has his own humorous leela. So this is the Mexican Rath Yatra. Oh, here you see some blissful Mexican devotees chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's very nice. And this is actually our own Ratnabhushana Prabhu is the spark plug. But this is the Rath Yatra in Panama. Panama City goes down every year and, you know, does the work of 1,000 men and puts on this Rath Yatra. So this is the Panama City Rath Yatra. And now we're in North America. It is a major accomplishment that you may not know it, but in addition to being your temple president, Swavas Prabhu is also the director of the North American BBT, our publishing house. And he and another devotee, maybe you know Vaisheshika Prabhu, a completely saintly person, the two of them have been hammering on the leadership for North America for years and years. We finally took care of some other stuff. They got our attention. We decided, let's increase book distribution. So leadership across North America has increased book distribution by 20%, then another 20%, and this year will be 10%. So that's 50% increase in book distribution. And that floods the world. Every book that's distributed is a brick for that Mayapur temple because a percentage of the sales of the books goes into the construction fund, and that construction fund money goes for building the Mayapur temple. So any of you who distribute Prabhupada's books, not only are you delivering the conditioned souls, giving them transcendental knowledge, but you're also helping build the Mayapur temple. So, and who are getting these books? Look at this guy. I mean, I can't even imagine what his next life was going to be, what kind of body he was going to get. They were complete. It's like a plane, you know, it's going down, you know, crash landing. And they meet a Vaishnava, and they get transcendental knowledge, and their whole trajectory of life is completely changed. I mean, look at these young folks. This is in Iowa. And here, they're completely blissful. They've met a devotee. They've gotten some transcendental knowledge. This guy's reading Prabhupada's books. It is the greatest act of compassion. We had a man. They have a suicide crisis line in San Diego. And you maybe know Coronado Bridge. People jump off Coronado Bridge all the time. So they set up, there's a toll-free number there that you can pick up and call. If you're just about, you know, just before you jump off the bridge, you reach out one last time for some drop of human kindness. So you call the suicide crisis line. They didn't fund it enough. They put you on hold. The people would jump, you know. So they actually took some volunteers. We had a man. He's now a devotee, full-time devotee, but he was a student at University of California, San Diego. His degree was in psychology. He got a job answering this crisis line. It's a true story. They say that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Where's that baby? Every baby gets three cries. You got one. You got two more. I'm insignificant, but it distracts from the, you know, so as far as possible. Anyway, you do your best. So they give you a cue card, and you try to get the person to look to the future. The man was telling me, try to get them to look to the future. So sure enough, his phone rings. The guy's ready to jump. The man says, well, are you married? The guy says, well, if you jump, you want money. Well, you've got your job. I was fired last week. Well, at least you've got your health. I was diagnosed with cancer. They went down the whole list. The devotee told me by the time he got to the end, he was thinking, where are you? I'll give you a push. You know, I mean, he wasn't, going to do that. But But, you know, what, the devotee, he quit the job because he said, even I patched this person up for the moment, they're still being knocked from pillar to post by the material nature. This world is a rough place. And ultimately, the coup de grace, death comes along and everything's finished. But if you can give them one of Srila Prabhupada's books, if you can give someone transcendental knowledge, their whole life changes. It is the, Prabhupada said, zero times zero is the zeroth power. But you put one in front of it, it becomes 100 or 1 million or 1 billion. You add transcendental knowledge, knowledge of Krishna, and the whole picture changes. So the greatest compassion is to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And here you see some examples of it. And anybody can do it. You see, this is in San Jose, where Vaisheshika Kapoor's temple is, even the dogs distribute books. This guy goes out, he's got these two dogs, he's got these little pouches on the side. You see this cute, oh, what a cute little pooch. And then, he wags his tail and he points to the books. So people, he distributes books. They say that a dog is a man's best friend. Anybody here been raised on dog milk? Actually, a cow is a man's best friend. But in this particular case, a dog, if they give you a book, they're actually your best friend. So anybody can do it. This is Motel Gita. You know, Gideon's Bible, and there's many good things we can learn from the Bible. I'm not faulting them at all. But you pull open the drawer, Gideon's Bible is there. Many of these motels in America are owned by Indian families. So they were thinking, you know, we've got the Bible, but what about Bhagavad Gita? You know, that is a transcendental literature. It is timeless. We should put... So this has started, again, Vaisheshika Prabhu, spurred it. Swavas Prabhu is the guiding hand behind it. It's spread all across America. This, we call it Motel Gita. And they have distributed, and it's actually working. He's initiated devotee, Bhakta Vatsal is his name. His Indian name is Bart Patel. He owns three motels in San Diego. He keeps buying Bhagavad Gita. I said, Bart, what's happening? He said, the same Bible has been sitting in the drawer for 15 years, but people are taking the Gitas. I said, well, are they fanatics? Or maybe they're throwing them away. He said, no, no, no. He said, they're checking out. They're at the front desk checking out, and they've got the Gita under their arm, and they say, I only got to chapter 6. I couldn't put it down. I was up till midnight. Can I take it with me? So they're actually taking the Gitas and reading them. Here's some figures. So we've distributed 190,000 Gitas to date. Just one temple, ISKCON Silicon Valley, in December, 16,653 Gitas in 1 month. Don't become puffed up. This is the Gideon's Bible. They're in 196 languages, 93 countries, 84.5 million distributed in 1 year alone. That's the last year I could get the numbers for. 1.8 billion since they started. Two Bibles go out every second from Gideon's Bibles. So we've got some, if you think, well, you know, we got some work to do. Don't worry, Prabhu. We can expand. And it's happening. This is the New York Bharatiyatra down Fifth Avenue. You have to consider the historic importance of this. Prabhupada came to New York with nothing. He had 40 rupees, which he couldn't even, no one would even take it. You couldn't even convert it. He took it back to India and paid for the taxi when Prabhupada went back to India the first time. He couldn't use it. And he was wandering homeless. They asked him, where did you first? He was living in the Bowery. They asked Prabhupada, why did you start in the Bowery? Prabhupada said the rent was cheap. No money. And from that, the whole society is going. And for Prabhupada, for 40 years after Prabhupada left the planet, is it whatever it is, since 1977, down Fifth Avenue, which Prabhupada said the most important street in the most important city in the most important country in the world, beautiful Rathiyatra is still sailing on. That is a testimony to Srila Prabhupada's potency, and it's a testimony to the sincerity of the devotees. It's bigger and better than ever. And we couldn't end, and I didn't show this just because I'm in L.A., but it really is the L.A. Rathiyatra that you Prabhus put on is just, it's a knockout standard. So devotees see this around the world. They appreciate it very, very much. Now, this is something we learned from India. You saw those 27 temples in Delhi? What they do is they rent an apartment near a college campus, right across the campus, and they get some of the students who are practicing Krishna consciousness. They're living in a dorm with, you know, beer and rock and roll and this, you know, chaotic cacophony of illusion. They can live together in a nice devotee house. Devotee couple stays there. They get prasadam. They have a morning program. They have classes in the evening. So it's called a Krishna house. And three nights a week, they have classes for the students. The first one we started in Chicago. These are all college students. It's at the Illinois Institute of Technology. And now we're opening this year two more, one at Northwestern and the other one will be right across the street from the University of Chicago. And it's a first-class way of introducing Krishna consciousness, cultivating the students, because they'll be our leaders in the future. So it's actually happening. Nice Krishna prasadam. Whoops. Hold on a second. Okay. Now, this is also a venue. All over America, they have these regional festivals, yoga festivals, meditation festivals, whatever it is. So this is one that was out in Temecula. This is what the setup looked like. It looked like one of the subterranean heavenly planets, you know? Quite bizarre. The devotees get a tent. They set up a book display. They set up changing bodies. They have bhajans. They distribute books. It's a fantastic venue. Anyone, you're a householder, you don't think you can preach, do this on the weekends. Brahmacharis, you want to figure out how to distribute books, do something innovative, we can help you. We're doing it in San Diego. They're starting to do it in different places. It's a great preaching venue. Look at these people. These are our folks. They're just waiting for the devotees. They're looking for something. Now, this is University of Florida. Go Gators. This is from their fundraiser. This is called the Plaza of the Americas. It's now become overgrown. They're doing a $15 million or $25 million renovation of that area, the university. And what did they choose as the cornerstone of their fundraising program? How to touch the hearts of graduates from the University of Florida who are around the world. How to bring back their fondest memories of when they were students of the University of Florida to get them to donate. What did they select in their fundraising magazine as the cornerstone program that most students love? The Krishna Lunch. This is their magazine. And this is a plate of the Krishna Prasadam. That Krishna lunch has been going on for who knows how. Is it Amarendra? Our Amarendra Prabhu started this program. They distribute over 1,000 plates a day. It's fantastic. I was on a radio show one time. Well, anyway, I think of the time. I'll tell you later, some other time. But here's right in the middle of their magazine, the centerpiece. It says, here's the Krishna house serving gators since 1971. And it's all the different pictures of the devotees distributing prasadam, or people receiving it. That's the cornerstone of the University of Florida Alumni Magazine for their fundraising. The devotees are in like Flint as far as the part of the campus. Now we've moved to the UK. This, of course, is Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's purchased by George Harrison for the devotees. Anybody recognize that lady in the hat? Guess where she is? Anybody recognize this is the Prince Philip? This is our school. This is our Krishna Avanti school in the UK. This is our Krishna Balaram deities. These are our students chanting verses from Bhagavad Gita for Queen Elizabeth. She came for the 75 Jubilee, and she came to our temple. Is she having a good time or what? She's looking at the deities and the devotees. This woman is one of the richest, if not the richest woman in the world. She can buy anything she wants. King Philip, Prince Philip, has his shoelaces ironed and then and tied for him. I mean, they have everything they want in the world, and it's an empty vacuum. Paltry, petty, putrid, and pernicious. There's nothing happening there. But what makes them happy? This is a wonderful devotee. I'll tell you a little bit more about it. His name is Naveen Krishna Prabhu. And he's the one who set up, he's a very successful businessman, full-time devotee. And he started this college program, this building our own school program. He was explaining to her the translation, Trinadapi Sunichena, more tall than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. This is one of the verses written by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was explaining, this is the ethos, this is the fiber that infuses our view of the world for Vaishnavas. And she turned to him and said, well, wouldn't that be just grand? That this is how society should work. They showed her Bhagavad Gita, When she left, she said, "Can I keep it?" So you always wonder what, and she slipped it. She always carries that big purse. I always wonder what she kept in that purse. Now you know, hardbound copy of Prabhupada's Gita. So this is our school. This is where the queen was sitting. They have the temple in the middle of the school. Deities are here. It's all built to LEED standard. It's top green standard. This is all, they've got grass growing on the roof as insulation. They harvest it as alfalfa. It's fantastic. Now, so because the government funds religious schools. They're actually smart. They want to make sure that they, instead of having these wild madrasas where these kids learn to become terrorists, actually make sure that they become inculcated with the values of the Western society. By that, democracy and so many different things. But they also let you have, we have our Gita classes. Everybody comes to morning, they have a morning Bhagavatam class. They have a darshan of the deities. They learn math, they learn all that, but they learn Bhagavad Gita. It's all Krishna prasadam, no meat, no fish, no eggs. The teachers are all devotees, and the government pays for it. We have four of these schools have opened, like this, already open. Six more are shortlisted. That means the government's approved them, we just have to find the spot. The government has, the UK government has given ISKCON for building these schools over $80 million. In addition, they're spending currently for these four schools $4 million per year just for the operation, all from that Naveen Krishna. That's how well-respected ISKCON is in the UK. This is their Goshala. It is, again, built to LEED standard. There's not a piece of metal in this whole thing. This is all French oak, tongue and groove. That building will be standing 700 years from now. There's a saying, if you take care of Dharma, Dharma will take care of you. If you protect the cows will protect you. Gomata. This is the London Ratha Yatra. 20 plates of prasadam goes right down Piccadilly Circus. It's going on all over the world. This is the Janmashtami. I mean, we have a big Janmashtami here in Los Angeles, excellently organized by the devotees, no doubt. Just to give you an idea that also it's going on around the world. This is the Janmashtami. 1,500 volunteers, 60,000 guests, 40,000 plates of prasadam, and just to keep rotten excited, 10,000 pizzas are sold, 10,000 guests chanting one round. It costs $500,000 to put on, but it raises $750,000. That $250,000 helps support the temple all year long. Just this picture, I almost fell off the roof, but this is just one quarter of the grounds. Picture this multiplied by four times. And this is 8 o'clock in the morning. It's packed towards the end of the day. They have so many people coming, they don't have room for everybody. Oh, here they have who can dress up like Radha and Krishna? Who can dress up like Hanuman, Lord Ram? It's really a nice festival. They have these Leela walks, because around the temple there's all these gardens. I forget the size, but it's probably about maybe 12, 13, 14 acres at least. So they said these are all life size, and you can walk through these, you know, beautiful English gardens with the sun shining, and it's all different Krishna's pastimes. There's a sign explaining. Here's another one, Krishna and Balaram. So this way they're able to, you know, engage the crowd and expand the site. Beautiful Radha Gokulananda. This is all done with fragrant flowers. The whole thing. You walk in and it just smells like another world. Here's a beautiful deity, Radha Gokulananda. Now, the temple president is a devotee named Shruti Dharma, who is one of the most transcendentally clever people I've ever met. How to, you know, take things and use them in Krishna's service. He's always got these far-out ideas. So he went to Hong Kong. He went to a toy show. What was he doing? They found these coin banks that are cows. And if you put a one-pound coin into the thing, the cow will shake his head and go, moo. So what they've done, it says caring for Krishna's cows. If you put a smaller coin in, you can put it in, but the cow won't moo. You've got to give at least a pound to get the cow to moo. They have over 3,000 of these banks, these little coin banks, all over England, all over the UK. And you can imagine, you know, the father, mother, they're working, they come home, the kids think, oh, put some money in the cow, put some money. And woo, they raise enough money from these cows to completely support the Goshala. They have over 300 cows, and they're all supported by these cow banks, temple regularly. But he used to always, because, you know, he's a well-known figure, and wherever he goes, people ask him for money or his autograph. He gets harassed all the time. Actually, fame is a real pain in the neck. So he used to slip in the back door, but he used to come in the kitchen door. And any of you who know temples, you know, often that's where all the cardboard boxes go out. So he used to come in the back door. And it was always, and he paid for the whole place. And the back door was always a sort of a garbage, all the boxes and this and trash was there and the dumpsters. And he used to, with his wry British humor, used to say to the devotees, we could do something nice back here. Which was like, hey, why don't you guys clean it up, But, devotees are working hard in so many, and the grounds are beautiful, the rest of the place. So when George Harrison passed away, in consultation with his wife, they thought, let's do something nice for him. So he used to joke about that area. They cleaned the whole thing out, and it's now the George Harrison Garden. It's all the different types of plants that he liked, and it's got benches and meditation areas you can walk through with all of his favorite verses from Bhagavad Gita. So that just opened this year as well. Now, you know this famous fellow? Anybody know? This is James Cameron. David Cameron. He's the Prime Minister of England. And this is what happened is they, for the first year, first time, they decided to celebrate Diwali, the Indian New Year, and it also commemorates Lord Ram coming back to Ayodhya, so many things. So they decided to celebrate that in number 10 Downing Street. So many people wanted to do it. So many people wanted to sponsor it. The Swami Narayan, the Arya Samaj, there's so many different, Vishwa Hindu Parishads. But ISKCON is so well respected, they invited the ISKCON devotees to put it on. So, this is far out. They brought a big, you saw those beautiful deities, Radha Gokulananda? They brought a big, big picture. They decorated the whole number 10 Downing Street with lights and pictures and so many things. They brought a big, big life-size picture of Radha Gokulananda and set it right up in the front lobby. So everyone who was coming, all the ambassadors, all the members of parliament and everything, the way they had it set up, they had a big thing of flowers and a candle. So everyone who came in, as they came in, they took some flower petals, they offered at the lotus feet of Radha Gokulananda, and they offered a candle. So this way they're offering their own little puja to Radha Gokulananda. When the whole thing was over, it was a wonderful success. Everyone stuffed full of prasadam. They started to unpack everything. They started to take down the picture of Radha Gokulananda. The Prime Minister's wife said, I'm really going to miss that. She said, that's the most beautiful picture I've ever seen. So the devotees, intelligently, said, you want to keep it? She said, well, I'm a little embarrassed, but I won't say no. So they always said, take it. So immediately she called, whoever the house guy was, and they took it. And to this day, hanging in the private quarters of the Prime Minister of England, number 10 Downing Street, is a big life-size picture of Radha Gokulananda. Now, this is our Radhanath Maharaj, one of the great saintly persons. He's meeting, this says House of Commons, but actually what he's meeting was these are the heads of the like we have our Congress, so they have the Parliament, and they have different, the Ways and Means Committee or the Roads Committee or the Foreign Affairs Committee. So these are the heads of all the main committees of the House of Parliament, and they're meeting with Radhanath Maharaj. He was supposed to give they have some priest comes and gives a five-minute invocation. What he said in 5 minutes, they were so impressed, they asked him to speak. He stayed for 2.5 hours. Asking him questions. He also had a similar meeting with the heads of the Bank of England, so you have all the different branch managers. And he explained to them something very far out. You measure a nation's success by gross national product. That means how many durable goods, airplanes, washing machines, refrigerators, things that will last longer than 3 years. How many of those things you can pump out, that's considered a developed economy, and that means you're successful. You're in the G9 or G8, now they kicked out Russia, G7, whatever it is. That's considered the top. But a Harvard professor, Nobel laureate in economics, you'd think they would have thought of this earlier. He did a calculation. You take the nine top nations with the highest gross national product, and you measure that against social ills, drug addiction, divorce, abortion, incarceration rate, all the different, juvenile delinquency rate, dropout rate. You measure all the social ills, and lo and behold, the top nine GNP have the top level of social disease and distress. Something is wrong with the equation. It doesn't work. We're not just consumer units. Money does not buy happiness. Bigger, better, more, it doesn't make you happy. And they're actually studying it now. And they're saying we should measure what is gross national happiness. So Radhanath Maharaj was making this point to them. He said, he said it's quite interesting. And they really got a kick out of this, the bank manager, the bank directors. He said, I've never had a bank account in my life. I walked from Afghanistan to India. I became a monk in India. I don't have a penny to my name, and I'm here speaking for 2.5 hours to the directors of the Bank of England. They really got a kick out of it, you know. But they were appreciating that something's wrong in the equation. So now we're going to Russia. This is a retreat that you're all invited. This is on the, well, I don't know what's happening now. It's on the Crimean coast, so I don't, they may have to find a new location. But the over 4th, they do it every summer. They rent this huge tent, beautiful tent, and over 4,000 devotees come. They have a morning program. They have, you can see, here's an example. They have 8 sannyasis, multiple seminars. This is what's up on the stage, a beautiful mock-up of Radha Madhava from Mayapur. So during the morning program, and then during the day, because devotees work hard. They take a little rest. They have some yoga. They go swimming in the ocean. You may recognize this well-fed Brahmin. This is Basu Ghosh Prabhu. Never one to miss a party. But you see the devotees. They're just, you know, they're having a little vacation once a year. They all the Sankirtan parties come together. Unbelievable prasadam. So it's a 5-day festival on the Crimean coast. They may relocate it. But you're all invited if you're ever in Europe. It's fantastic. Now, this is Murmansk. Google it. It's above the Arctic Circle. It is where they send the Eskimos for training. I mean, it's a godforsaken place. Well, God is everywhere, so no place is godforsaken. But it is, you know, it's worse than going to Siberia. Somehow or other, there's some devotees who live there. But how does they've opened a little temple. How to support it? What to do in this? It's frozen 9 months out of the year. Innovative ideas. They started a bakery. Of course, it's all eggless. It's all Krishna prasad. Check out this. It's the most popular bakery in the entire city. Here's some of the. Hare Krishna. When in doubt, make sure it's plugged in. Hare Krishna. This says, glory to hard work. Well, he's working hard. Is that the goal of life? Srila Prabhupada visited Russia at the top of the Cold War. That Andropov, or whatever his name, that guy from the CIA, horrible monster of a man, was in charge. It was a, you know, everyone was going to the gulag. It was a, you know, the Siberian prisons. I can tell you some amazing stories about the devotees some other time. Prabhupada went there. You know, the CIA was saying, oh, the Russian bear is going to crush us. We're spending billions, you know. They're having bake sales to support schools, but, you know, billions of dollars are going in for, you know, weapons. Prabhupada went there and said, this will not last. He said, the people are suffering. It is an artificial, superficial, it is on the surface only. The whole thing is rotten to the core. It'll collapse. Prabhupada said, just distribute books. It was completely against the current of the times. And yet, it happened. The whole thing collapsed. And Prabhupada pegged it before the KGB or the CIA or anybody. Prabhupada told this joke. There's those famous pictures of Prabhupada, black and white. You see him in the Red Square. He's in St. Basil's or, you know, whatever it is. Prabhupada saw this line. These people are, this is in the communist time. I think they still do it. They were all lined up to see Lenin's tomb. So Prabhupada asked, what are they all lined up for? They said, well, Prabhupada, they're going to see Lenin's tomb where Lenin's buried. Prabhupada's joke was, you know why they're all lined up? Prabhupada said, to make sure he's dead. Horrible. And the whole thing has collapsed. Of course, now it's coming back. But devotees are all over there preaching. This is the original temple we had. Well, they had this temple for many, many years. Somehow or other, Russian government, they wanted it for something else. In 2004, they demolished it. The devotees have been through so much there. They got another place, worked it out with the city. They set up a temporary temple. They're going to design a whole temple. They decided they wanted it for a sports complex. They threw the devotees out. Each time they were thrown, like the Pandavas, Prabhupada said they were being hunted in the forest like animals and being chased. You know, in Mahabharata, they were being chased. They had to be, you know, incognito, hiding in the forest. So the devotees, the GBC, the representative of our governing body commission, in Russia. One of them is Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. Amazing story I can tell some other time. He was a PhD chemistry student, thrown out of the university by the KGB, threatened with so many things, he didn't give an inch. Became a full-time devotee. Now he's, you know, they've been through it. Thrown out on the street, a Russian businessman, not even a devotee, but was so upset. He heard one of the devotees on a radio show, and he thought, these are genuinely saintly people. Then he read in the paper how the devotees were being knocked from pillar to post and harassed. He was so upset that his government would treat spiritual, religious, genuinely saintly people like this, that he went out, met the devotees, and purchased two beautiful properties for us, these two buildings. It's in the most prestigious part of Moscow. These two buildings, here's the design that's coming up. This will be the new temple in Moscow. Right in the center, not right in the center, but just in this, it's a great location, just in one of the suburbs. So Krishna works, we just do our duty, and Krishna works in it. Prabhupada one time said, I was in the room. Prabhupada said, I have my plan, you have your plan, and Krishna has his plan. So guess whose plan wins? We just do our duty, and everything comes. Okay, this is, we are following such a personality who could see through the KGB, who had the darshan of Rupa Goswami, who came to the West. Prabhupada had a, how long do we usually go till? Hare Krishna. They asked Prabhupada, why did you come to the West? And Prabhupada, in his humility and also his sublime sense of humor, he said, my Guru Maharaj sent some devotees to London and they failed. One of my god brothers went to Sweden and he failed. Another one went to Germany and failed. I thought, if I'm going to fail, let me fail in a new place. So, but actually, Prabhupada wrote, later on, Prabhupada actually explained very clearly that the whole world was chasing after America. And that anyone who's my age or knows in India, they completely rejected anything from India belonged to the dusks of the past. You know, chased after America. If it's made in America, you know, whatever. Chasing. So they would. Prabhupada thought, if I can turn, the whole world is following Americans. If I can find some young, intelligent American boys and girls and turn them into Vaishnavas, beautiful, blissful, saintly, intelligent, it will rock the world. And then once it's rocked America, I'll bring them back to India and it'll blow the minds of the people in India and they'll follow. And that's exactly what Prabhupada did, and it worked. All over the world, India completely, people couldn't believe it. It was like aliens if they'd landed to see Western devotees chanting Hare Krishna, doing what they had given. They're chasing after America, and yet the Americans are doing what they've rejected. Prabhupada, the Sanskrit term is Senapata Bhakta, predicted by Lord Nityananda, predicted by the six Goswamis, predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that a great general will come from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own camp and spread Krishna consciousness around the world. Tarun Kanti Ghosh, the reason I tell you this is to have some confidence in the potency that lies within the Krishna consciousness movement. It's not because of us. It's because of the order of Krishna and the desire of the previous acharyas. Just like you cannot stop the Ganges flowing out of the Himalayas to the ocean. You can't stop it. This movement cannot be stopped because it is coming from divine authority and will. Prabhupada came to Tarun Kanti Ghosh, very important businessman, owned newspapers all over India, was a Vaishnav, had been to see some yogi who, zoop, by mystic power, had made an apple. Maybe he was, you know, some of these guys, Sai Baba, I'm sorry to be frank, you know, just cheap magicians who pawn themselves off as incarnations of God. But let's give this yogi credit. Let's say this yogi actually had the ability, zoop, Prapti City could make an apple. Tarun Kanti Ghosh had seen him, came to see Srila Prabhupada, and kept going on and on about this apple, that he made an apple, and then, you know. Prabhupada was humility personified, but for Krishna's message and to save this man, Prabhupada stood up. I mean, you know, made this point. Prabhupada said, actually, I came to America with nothing. We already described 40 rupees, which you couldn't even convert. Prabhupada sat down and chanted in Washington Square Park and Tompkins Square Park. He sat on the grass with the paracartels and began to chant. First thing that happened is one of New York's finest, one of the police officers, said, hey, buddy, off the grass. Prabhupada was sitting on the hot sidewalk, alone, with one pair of cartels, nothing. But he had his books, and he had faith in the order of his Guru Maharaj. And so Prabhupada made this point, and said, from that, from nothing, Prabhupada, so many devotees came. So many books came. So many festivals came. So many deities came. So many temples came. And then Prabhupada said, and in every temple, there are so many apples. Yeah, apple chutney, apple halva. So the guy made one apple. Big deal. But to open temples all over the world, it is an amazing thing. So we should have, this is the personality sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We just follow. We do our duty. It doesn't mean we follow blindly. Intelligence, energy, innovation, but following Prabhupada's instructions and guidance. So this is in Istanbul. We have a beautiful Govindas restaurant next time you're in Istanbul. Are they having a good time or what? What do you think? Prabhupada said, he was talking about prasadam distribution. He said, the poison is entered and there's no cure. Your material life is finished, you know. And they have a big room in the back where they have yoga classes, you know, Bhagavad Gita, mantra meditation. Because it's a Muslim nation, you have to be careful. These are some of the first books coming out in Turkish. This is coming back. The other one is, what is that book called? Karma, or whatever it is, Laws of Nature. Now, this is quite far out. This is in Italy. What is this? The devotees go traveling 5 days. They stay in one city. This is one group of devotees. They're there for 5 days, Monday through Friday. And they advertise a festival that they have. No worries. He'll work it out. Thank you, though. There's usually a parade starts about now because I'm going over time. Okay, so 5 days, Monday through Friday, they put on a festival in one place. They distribute books. Then 2 days a week, they put on this festival. Watch how this happens. Check this out. So here they're starting. Here's the sign, Hare Krishna, Festival of India. It's all lit up at night. Here's the tent going up. It's all done with hydraulic lifts. Here's the inside of the tent. They have a stage, a sound system. It seats 400 people. Beautiful tent. Here's the outside. Can you imagine this was set up right outside your town? They actually travel with their own cow. See this cow? And this is her trailer. Because they want to show people, you know, ahimsa, nonviolence. You know, I was in an airport. I saw a Ronald McDonald, you know, McDonald's advertisement, commercial in the airport. And they show Ronald McDonald with all the kids and their happy, happy music. And they're going out to the forest and they're picking hamburgers from the hamburger tree. What? You know, there's a complete disconnect, the horrible violence that's behind that thing. So they travel with their own cow. So here's they travel in this, they have two of these trucks. Can you imagine this truck flying down the road, two of these, and tethered to the back is this other small trailer with a cow out there. Moo! What was that? All glories of the Vaishnavas, transcendental intelligence. Now we're in China. This is one of the great heroes. This is our Tamal Krishna Goswami, one of the great heroes of our society. Here he is. You had to go incognito. He's, you know, in Western dress. You could not travel. If you went to China, you could get a tourist visa, which means you had a government minder who really was spying on you, who stayed. You could go see the Great Wall of China. You could go to the Forbidden City. You could spend a few bucks, and they tossed you out. So how to actually mix and mingle? Dristadumna, his personal assistant secretary, his father was on the board of Seagram's Liquor. They got a business visa from Seagram's. They didn't sell anything, trust me. But that allowed them to travel all over the country without a government minder. Tamal Krishna Maharaj joked, he said, actually, we were selling divine intoxication, the holy name. You know. So on one hand, it was bona fide. So from that effort, it spread. This is Gopi Purandana. He's passed away. This is another one of the great heroes of our society. If you read that Brihad Bhagavatamrita or recently the Satsandarbha that's just come out, he taught himself Sanskrit. This is one of the top Confucian scholars in China. The man was living on barley water, tofu, and bok choy. He has just finished off a plate of samosas fried in ghee. What you have there, this is a Buddhist smile. This guy is busting out in Buddhist ecstasy. You know? He was so... Now, why this matters? Meeting Gopi, a profound... And was a wonderful devotee and just such a warm-hearted, humble Vaishnava and a profound scholar. The man was deeply impressed. Why that matters, I'll show you in a minute. But with the help of Gopi, this man in the yellow hat, he's the head abbot. He has monasteries all over China. This is their monastery in the back. Over 2,000 students under this one, just in that one monastery. It's dry. You know, what's the sound of one hand clapping? I mean, you know, how long can that go on? You know, this Buddhist koan. We want to know what the sound of two hands clapping, you know? Hare Krishna, the kirtan. So they've managed. They've found this vein. Prabhupada said intelligence means of preaching. Minimize the difficulties, maximize the benefits. It's very difficult in China, but they found this vein that they're actually able to go to monasteries and teach meditation, mantra meditation. They present the whole philosophy. It's had a profound effect. I have another slideshow someday I'll show just on China. I have pictures of 2,000 monks jumping out of their skin chanting Hare Krishna. They're finally getting some taste. And this abbot, to his credit, this guy, this is Tirtharaj, another well-fed Brahmin, who, he's a very nice devotee. This is Sachinandana Prabhu. He oversees activities of, you know, certain area of China. Very, very nice devotee. This abbot, you can just see how happy he is. And he told Tirtharaj, he said, you're doing the real work of the people. He said, we go off and hide in the mountains, in the caves, you know, and practice our meditation, our own serene, peaceful. He said, but you go out to the people where they're suffering. You are braver than us. We hide in the mountains while you do the real work. So he was actually a smart man. He could appreciate the devotees. And after the whole thing, he asked if Tirtharaj could initiate him. So Tirtharaj said, do you have any beads? And the Buddhists, they chant on some of these walnut shell beads. So they had these. So he had, like, I think it was 16 walnuts. So Tirtharaj chanted on his beads and said, your name is Krishna Das. This is the Hong Kong Ratha Yatra. You know, Hong Kong is the harbor in the middle. The business side is on, and Kowloon, the shopping side, is on the other. So they do it at night. There's thousands, tens of thousands of people in the street in Kowloon at night. So here they are, shopping distance. Here's Tirtharaj again, Prabhu. And here's our Ratha Yatra carts. Nighttime Ratha Yatra. It's all lit up. Beautiful Lord Jagannath. And here's some Chinese devotees, Chinese gopis chanting Hare Krishna. It's an amazing thing. Now, where is that scholar? He's in, because of this scholar, this is Satyanarayan Prabhu. He directs our Far East printing. This is Ekachakra Prabhu. He also helps with the printing. This is his wife who translated the Bhagavad Gita into Mandarin, into China, I think Mandarin and also Cantonese. But this is very far out. What this says in the back, this is a signing ceremony for printing of Bhagavad Gita. This says China Social Science Press, one of the best, because you can only print on a government press. If you want to distribute books, you got to, otherwise you go to jail. So because of Gopi, because of that scholar, because of the hard work of the devotees, he actually put in a good word that this to the Chinese government, this is history, this is culture, this is sociology, Varnashram Dharma, you should study these books, they'll enrich, we're neighbors with India, we should understand their culture. Because of that, they approved. They're printing the full set of Prabhupada's books, all the purports, all the photographs, everything. Prabhupada said, when I hear a book has come out in a foreign language, I feel like I've conquered an empire. And it's actually happening. Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita floating in China. You cannot, just like Russia collapsed, and now the devotees are everywhere. You cannot imagine what's going to happen. Okay, now we're in Bangladesh. I'll be quick. It's a Muslim country. This is just in Dhaka, the capital. 200 devotees living on site. 125 brahmacharis. This is the brahmachari ashram. Sunday feast, over 1,000 people come to the Sunday feast. This is Devaki Mataji. One lady, she raised the money to purchase that land. She also then purchased this bus, and the devotees travel all over Bangladesh, putting on festivals and distributing books. This is the Dhaka Ratha Yatra. They go down the main street, right past the National Mosque. Not on Fridays, but right down the National Mosque. Right down there. This, as you can see, it's a Muslim country. This is a new, they're building this temple. This is in Chittagong. This is, there was a Hindu orphanage. It's in the main part of town on the highest hill. You can see all the way to the ocean. You can see the entire city. The devotees, Bangladesh is one of the poorest countries in the world. Somehow or other, the devotees have raised the money. When I was leaving, the marble has just arrived. This is a picture of the temple, but probably the marble cladding is done. Restaurant, retreat, gifts, you know, shop, everything. It's a beautiful temple on the top of this hill overseeing all of Chittagong. Now we're going to Europe. This is in Kiev. The devotees, there's six, this is the temple. 60 devotees living in the temple. They have a guest house. They have a restaurant. If you're ever in Kiev, check it out. Cell phone. The hundi's right there. This is the Sunday feast. 500 to 800 attendees at the Sunday feast. Now, this is one devotee. This came from that ILS, the ISKCON Leadership Seminar in Mayapur. This is one good idea, one man. He started a website. And on this website, you know this picture. You act in a particular way, you get a particular type of body. He has this changing body website. Here's how it works. You type in your activities and your desires, and you send in a photo. It asks you a series of questions. What do you like to sleep? How much? What do you like to eat? How much do you sleep? Well, you know, do you like to live in the country? Do you like to live in the city? You know, all these different questions. And it's all based on Bhagavad Gita, describing the three modes of material nature. You know, a person in this mode acts like this. A person, it's all described. The best description of human psychology you will find in the world is found in Bhagavad Gita. So what you do is you take a photo, you scan it in, and you answer the questionnaire, and $20, and you send it in, and you get back a picture. It shows you what you will be in your next life, whether you're going to be an animal or, you know, this. And he sends back quotes from Bhagavad Gita explaining the whole thing. And would you like to get a Gita? This man, I think the site's only been up maybe a year and a half. He has sold, in Czech language, he's sold over 3,000 Bhagavad Gitas, one man. And he's translating the next, he's going to do it in German. And eventually he's going to translate in the major languages around the world. Can you imagine one man, how many Gitas he's going to distribute? It's fantastic preaching from his home. I'll have to get it. Good question, I'll have to get it. This is Australia, we're almost done. This is the power, the thunder down under. See, this is a little prasadam cart. The whole thing folds up, and it can be towed by a truck. It's designed by a devotee named Ajita Prabhu. He's in charge of the farm. They're a super smart devotee, wonderful devotee. They travel. He's an Australian Ratna. Yeah, he's a wonderful devotee. He travels to these he actually has a crew that does it. They travel the festivals all over Australia, music festivals, regional festivals, this and that. Here's what it looks like. Here's the kitchen inside. It's in sleep mode. He's got everything, what do they call it? Kiss, keep it simple, sadhu? No, sadhu. I chose my words carefully. So everything's down precision. They pump out thousands of plates of prasadam. Every prep is first class. And they've raised enough money. They've paid for their farms, completely paid for. They have made over $1 million U.S. in the last 3 years. Profit. You're a householder. You want to figure out what to do with your life? He'll train you. You can go to Australia. He will show you everything. He'll give you the menus, the recipes, everything. I tell you, it is a huge field in America. Instead of working at the fender bender factory, having a quiet life of desperation, shuffling papers, you know, if you got a little capital, a little free time, think about this. Here they're all lined up for prasadam. They set up this whole pandal tent in back. Here's where the window is. The people are lined up on this side. You can all come and sit inside. It's a whole thing. Just add water. Zoop, 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 and the whole thing folds up. Now we're in Africa. This is our African BBT just opened. Prabhupada will be so pleased by this. These are two of the first books to come out. This is in Zulu. This is the language of Nelson Mandela. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the language. I forget. They have six traveling parties. This is one of the parties of Brahmacharis. They travel all over Africa distributing books. You want some adventure? You want some excitement? Hey, go on safari, book safari. Here's one of the gentlemen they met. He works in an oil refinery. Look at that man. He's got finally, after he's found truth, he's found beauty, he's found substance. Doesn't matter whether he's black or white, rich or poor, he's spirit, soul, he's got transcendental knowledge and he's glad he got it. Check out these guys. That guy looks like he just ate about 15 gulab jamuns. Check him out. They were gas station attendants. But you know, devotees, Pandita Samadarshana, everyone is spirit, soul. So they have an invitation to the temple in Durban. They've got transcendental literature. They've got a nice book. Can you tell me, are they counting the days so they can take Krishna prasadam? No doubt about it. All glories of the merciful Vaishnavas. They have, as they travel, they also do programs at the universities. They distribute books on campus. Then they have a PowerPoint presentation on Bhagavad Gita, and they distribute prasadam. This is in Soweto, which is one of the most crime-ridden, dangerous places in the world. Johannesburg has the highest murder rate, I believe. Maybe Caracas is ahead of them now. Anyway, we're almost done. We're the long-suffering mother. But check this out. Here's the Rath Yatra cart in back. Here's South African devotees chanting and dancing. Prabhupada came to Los Angeles, to Detroit, sat down to give Bhagavatam class, looked out over the crowd, college students, hippies, black inner-city street kids, Indian families, the whole montage, the whole spectrum of humankind. His mic was on. He hadn't started singing Jai Radha Madhava. He looked out over the crowd,